Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Wednesday, July 29th. Today is the birthday of Sister Dorothy Holliday, so I want to wish Miss Holliday a happy birthday. Hope she's blessed of the Lord and enjoying a great day on this birthday. Amen. And today's Wednesday, so we'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to come and be with us here at the Island Ford Baptist Church for our regular midweek prayer service. Now, I'm not here. We are actually in Virginia at this time, but Joshua Shepherd is going to be filling in for us and preaching tonight at 7 p.m. And the church is easily located at 1415 Island Ford Road, Madisonville, Kentucky. Love to have you come and be part of those services. Well, with Joshua preaching for us tonight, I've got two songs queued up before the message today. And first of all, I've got Joshua singing, him and Benjamin together. But Joshua sings the lead on this one entitled, He Preached, a good song about a preacher and the gospel and the power of the gospel. And then I've got Sister Katie Shepherd. She was gearing at the time that the song was sung and recorded, but she's a shepherd now, amen. And Katie's singing a song entitled, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. These two songs and then the message from the Word of God. We are continuing our study of Matthew chapter number 5, verses 1 through 5, giving an introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. We began this last week and continuing it through this week. And as we're looking at that, we're looking at the preaching of Jesus. We'll get to that today. We're talking about the preacher, the place, the people, and the preaching. And we ended up yesterday talking about the people, the particular people that were there. We talked about the curious. We'll get into a little bit more of that today. Talk about the curious, and then we'll talk about the consecrated people that were there. And we'll end up talking about the posture of our Lord in his preaching, the fact that he's sitting to preach them with authority. Amen. Matthew chapter number 5. If you'd like to be turning there, Matthew chapter number 5. I talk about this Sermon on the Mount. Three chapters, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. But this is talking about our day. These are some things we're going to live through, and we need to live this out. Amen. And apply it in our life. So having said that, I want to look at these first five verses. I want to give you an introduction, really, as I started out this morning, an introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. So verse number 1, the Bible said, "And seeing the multitudes, we know that he's Jesus, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And I said I could read on, but I'll stop right there.
And that completes the reading of the scripture that we're using for this week's sermon. And we have been preaching on this now, and we're going to be moving on to some additional information. So we will have a little bit of repeat and then some additional information as we move ahead in the sermon, as it was preached live in the auditorium of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky.
There are people that just can't seem to find the will of God. Some, they say, you know, I just can't find a church that I approve of. I just can't find the will of God. Brother Sammy Allen says the reason why some people can't find the will of God and find the church, he says it's the same reason that bank robbers can't find a policeman. They ain't looking. Amen. That may be the case in our world today. There's a whole lot of people. Amen. Matter of fact, I've knocked on doors in this community and had people say to me, "We're looking for a church." But they ain't come by. I've told them where it's at, described it to them, and they know about it. And they say, "We're looking for a church." Ain't looking too hard. Amen. Well, these earnest seekers, if you'll seek, you'll find. Those that read and study their Bible, earnestly seeking to be taught from the Lord, are blessed by his teachings. But those that do not come to church faithfully have no one to blame for their spiritual deficiencies but themselves. If you want to grow spiritually, you need to be in the house of God. You need to be in the Word of God. Amen. You got to show some interest. You got to show some earnestness about the things of God. And I believe that's right. I believe you'll find there.
But there's not only this consecrated crowd here, there's a curious crowd. There's a crowd that just came to see what's going on. You say, how do you know that? Because look at the end of this sermon, chapter 7. I told you this sermon goes from 5, 6, and 7. Look at the end of it, chapter 7, the last two verses, verse 28 and 29. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. These people were amazed that this fellow had such authority. Right. Now, if they had believed on him as the Lord, they wouldn't have been amazed at his authority. They'd have known this fellow's got authority. He's not just got authority. He is the authority. And they would have known that. I believe the people that he's talking about here in verse 28 and 29, these people that are referenced here were not those that were consecrated to follow the Lord and to continually follow him and his disciples. But I believe that they were probably the majority of the crowd that just came to see what he's going to do next. Right. Is he going to be handing out fish and hush puppies again? Is he going to heal the lame? Is he going to heal the blind? What's he going to do? Is he going to walk on water? We want to see it. And I'm afraid that's our world today. A lot of people come for the phenomena. They come for the excitement. They come for the unusual. Amen. Rather than coming to hear what Jesus has to say. Amen. Our world's full of entertainment. We're an entertainment-driven world. America in particular. Entertainment-driven. Churches have adopted that. They've gotten in the entertainment business. Amen. And a lot of the things that go on are going on for the entertainment value. Well, I'm convinced that there are people that go to church for, quote unquote, the show. They want to see what's going to go on next. They're not really there to listen. They're not really there to learn. They're there to be an onlooker. They want to see what's happening. They want to be able to laugh. They want to be able to grin. They want to be able to poke fun. And they want to be able to go home, nothing invested, nothing lost, nothing gained. Amen. They're not really there to have their lives changed. Right. They're not really there to have their heart read to them. They're not really there to see who they are by looking in the mirror of the Word of God. They're there to see who else is there. They're there to see what's going on. Amen. Well, can I say they're just there for the excitement. For these types of people, the teaching and the preaching parts of the ministry are not their favorites. Amen. Again, you knock on doors, whether it's here or anywhere. You talk to people. And you don't be knocking on doors. You just see people in town or however. You talk to people and you invite them to church. Once in a great while, you might have somebody say, you have a good preacher? But that's in the minority. Most of them say, what kind of programs you got? You got something for the kids? You got something for the old folks, the senior citizens? Do you have junior church? What kind of game? Do you have a ball team? Amen. They want to know about the singing. They want to know about your media production. They want to know about the entertainment value that's in there for them. They're not there for the preaching. Well, they want excitement. They want entertainment. I believe it can be seen in the fact that these folks were astonished at the authority of this. When this man preached, he expected them to pay attention. When this man preached, he expected them to apply what he said. Right. He meant it for them. They said, is he talking to me? He said, yes, I'm talking to you. Amen. They was astonished at his authority. Just like our crowd today, they don't like that authority issue. Right. Amen. They're the curious crowd. They were amazed at our Lord's teachings that they actually were not just suggestions, but they had demands. That these were actually some weighty demands that had some authority over them. Isn't that amazing? Now I'll say this before I move off of this point. Some of these curious people got converted and became consecrated people. Praise God. And that can happen in the churches today. Amen. How many times have you ever heard somebody stand up and testify and say, Well, when I went to church, I didn't go for the preaching. I went because I was trying to impress some girl. Or I went because I was trying to impress a boss man. Or I went for, you know, whatever the reason, I just went for the entertainment value. Maybe they might could say whatever. But God, in His grace and in His goodness, arrested their soul and brought them to a place they recognized their sinful condition. All of a sudden, they forgot the girl. They forgot the boss man. They forgot the entertainment. All of a sudden, they knew what they needed was to repent and believe on the Lord. Amen. What a blessing that some of those curious crowd can get converted and get in the consecrated crowd. Amen. That's the goal, by the way. That's the goal. Every time we come to the house of God, we ought to rejoice in that goal. But many of this curious crowd just stayed a while, wandered off, and went away. You know what? They went away when it got too close for comfort. When the preaching or the teaching got too close to home, they had to leave. Amen. So I'm talking about the people that were there at the sermon. Let me give you the last point, and that's the particulars of the sermon. So I want to point out some things about it. Look at verse number 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, when he was set, the particulars. Now there's several. I'm going to point out, I think, 4. His position, or maybe you say his posture, is that he sat down to teach them. That's what I mentioned this morning. There's sit, set, and sat. All right? And this is when he was set. This could be set for one thing, you know. I don't think that was his necessarily style of preaching. Although I don't believe that he is some limp-wristed, soft-speaking kind of fella. Yeah. Amen. Matter of fact, I believe his preaching arrested those old Roman soldiers even. Amen. But at the same time, he sat down, and it's through the scriptures we can see it again and again. And it was opposite in that day as to what it is today. Nowadays, the preacher stands and everybody else sits down. In that day, many times the preacher would sit down, and the people might stand or they could sit, depending on what the circumstances was. I'll show you through the scriptures that it was common. Look in Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 20. The preacher or the teacher would have a seat, and the listeners would stand or sit to hear what he had to say. Luke chapter 4 and verse number 20. You remember Luke 4? He's gone back to his hometown. As his custom was, he goes to the house of God. And while he's in there, he asks them to give him the book. All right? He read the scripture out of Isaiah, as you remember that, verse number 20. And he closed the book, and he gave it again unto the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He began to preach to them a message. Now, when I first read that years ago as a young boy, I thought he sat down meant he read it and he was done. He sat down, but that's not what it means. He read it and by the way, it's a scroll. He may have to stand up and roll that thing out. And he's rolled the scroll out and he's found his place to read. He reads that. He's folded it up, hands it back to the man, and he sits down to preach to them. He sits down to give them the message that God has placed on his heart. Turn over one more chapter, chapter 5, verse number 3. You'll see it again. He's there by the lake of Gennesaret and sees these two ships. Look at verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So they're standing out there on the seashore or sitting, however it is, but he sits down on the ship and preaches to them. Turn to John chapter 8. You'll see it one more time. I think there's other times, but I just chose these to pull out and show you. John chapter 8, verse number 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. So we see him on a boat. We see him on a mountain. We see him out in the wilds, and we see him in a temple, synagogue, and in a temple. In all these cases, it appears His set position is a sitting position. Now, the fact that he sat down to teach them demonstrates his authority. Turn to Matthew chapter number 23. I touched on this morning. I made a statement about it, but I didn't really point it out. I just hit it in a sideswipe kind of a mode. But Matthew 23, verses 1 through 3, our Lord's going to talk to his disciples about obeying the authority in the land over them at that time, the religious authority of the Jews. All right, look at verse number 1 of Matthew 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees, look at this, sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you do, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Now here's what our Lord said. He said, these folks are in authority over you. They are in authority with using the law. They sit in Moses' seat. Moses was a judge over the people of Israel, and he designated 70 other judges over them. And that was, and of course, we know today the Sanhedrin that they call from that. But in that idea, our Lord said, these men are the authority. This sitting in Moses' seat demonstrates to them and refers to them the authority that these men had. Can I say to you that that is why in our case that our Lord is they're amazed at his authority, that he could sit in that seat and actually preach to them the power of God and the word of God. Amen. He was showing that seat of authority. That's what we call it sometimes. Now in the case of Matthew 23, our Lord's showing them not only their authority, he's showing their hypocrisy. And he's saying, you listen to what they're saying because they're telling you right. But don't pay attention to what they're doing because they're not living it right. Amen. I'm afraid that's advice we have to take today. Yeah. Almost every politician gives some kind of lip service to God, to the Bible. And when they say God's great, they're telling it right. They just don't live it. Yeah. Amen. Our President Donald Trump, I'm applauding him for some of the things he does. I'm nervous about some things that he does. And has done, by the way. I mean, it's just his lifestyle. Personally believe that if he got saved, he'd denounce a whole lot of that mess. But he made this statement recently. He said, our nation worships God and not government. I said, praise God, we need to get back to that. Yes, amen. That is a great statement. That is a true statement. In that case, I say, listen to what he's saying. Amen, like our Lord said. He might be a hypocrite about it, but what he's saying is right. Amen. But I'm back to this thing about the position our Lord was in, or the plainness, posture that he had there, is that he sat down. Now, it's interesting to me that this crowd commented on the amazing authority that our Lord exhibited there in chapter 7, verse 29. And indeed, Christ did have authority, and he showed it by sitting and teaching. But he still has authority, and he proves it by sitting where he's sitting today. He is seated at the right hand of God on high. Amen. He shows his authority above all matters of the church. He shows his authority over all matters of salvation and religion. Thank God he shows his authority by sitting in that seat. Amen. Now the Pope says he's got authority because he sits in the chair of Peter. That's what he says. That's a lie, by the way. There's a whole lot of things a lie, by the way. Pope means father. A fellow ain't a father unless he's illegitimate. Because he ain't got a wife. That's right. Or children, supposedly. Amen. But there's a lot of the thing that he talks about their power being that they get it from Moses, from Peter's chair. Listen, it's not Peter's chair we're interested in. It's the chair on high, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And I don't have to bow to Peter. Don't have to bow to the Pope. I bow to none other than Jesus. Amen. Amen.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. So we're going to have to break in the message right there. But Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow and continue this message throughout this week. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.